We start with Mike Strain, the Commissioner of Agriculture for Louisiana. Seen a lot of budget cuts, and let's start there. We just had a completion of a special session of the legislature. Did you come out okay as far as your department and the budget, Commissioner?
Well, so far we have. There's something that happens now on July 1st. It's called deallocation of funds. And there will be $60 million deallocated from the general budget of all agencies. And so we really don't know what our budget will be until after we get our letter that will define how much we will have until we get to, of course, the midterm budget cuts.
How does that affect services as far as people counting on your office to protect them in any number of ways that maybe the public at large is not fully aware of?
Well, the majority of our agency is either self-funded or with federal funds. The minority of the budget is with state general funds. The deallocation will come from those state general funds. And under the law, I'm not allowed to move money around. So if state general fund is cut, we have to cut in those areas funded by state general funds. And that is firefighting and forestry, that is food safety, meat inspection, and basically soil and water conservation. Those are the areas. And so what we try to do is that in every aspect, we try to figure out a way to minimize the impact on people. And so hopefully our cut will be less than $1 million, we hope. And what we will try to do is just find more and efficient ways to do our job and work very hard to maybe, you know, do more things in other areas where we can, you know, may have generate dollars, you know, through self-generated revenue. But it's always difficult. One of the things, though, that is helping us is that on September 15th of this year, after 10 years, we'll be out of debt. And so our interest payments now are becoming minimal. And of course, this will be the last principal payments on the debt for the sugar mills and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to help us. So I don't really have a choice. When I get those state general fund cuts, they are cut in proportion to the entity that receives it. And then we try to minimize what we're doing now. Things that I did, I got rid of all the executive aircraft. And so I sold the King Air back to the governor. And, of course, they said they wouldn't keep the money, but the legislature kept it anyway. You know how that works. Uh-huh. And then we sold the other passenger plane. We had the passenger planes basically for the state. But that saves $400,000 a year selling the aircraft, and the pilot went to back to DOTD. So that's eight jobs. I have eight jobs there. So there we look at everything in jobs. Yeah. And so whenever we talk about budget cuts or how we save money, everything we do is equated to how many jobs we save.
Now, our previous commissioner liked to get behind the wheel at the plane. You don't do that very often.
No, I sit co-pilot. I've got about over 1,500 hours in the right side of the plane. I don't sit in the back. I sit up there. When I fly, I'm with the pilot because you never know, you know, when it's just you and the pilot and a little bitty airplane, you know. But I don't have to know how to fly. I only have to know how to land it.
Well, the legislature for a while looked like it was going to, in its wisdom, give you the responsibility of Uber and Lyft in Louisiana. That didn't work out at the finish line. What happened?
No, it didn't. And I think at the end of the day, there was some controversy looking at the amount of fees specifically collected here in the city of New Orleans. And if you look, it's between $3 and $5 million in fees being collected from Uber. And if you look at the reason we were selected, I mean, we regulate weights, measures, and standards. We regulate the taxi cab industry, all the meters and that. And for a long time, there's been a discussion that there's no one really having a statewide oversight on these new Lyft and Uber. And so, you know, from that point of view, they said, well, it should reside on the Department of Agriculture, and there was going to be, we would basically redistribute fees to all of the entities where Uber exists. So you would have Uber and Lyft statewide. The way it is now, each individual political jurisdiction can set up rules, regulations, permits, fees. And that is not healthy for that particular industry.
877-217-5757 is your number, and the email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Our leadoff guest is the Commissioner of Agriculture, Mike Strain, Michael Gene Strain, who was a state lawmaker before he became the commissioner and has a wide background in farming. He's a farmer himself and is a graduate of the LSU Veterinary School, and we've talked about this before. That is a school that is a real treasure, and not every state even has a school.
That's right. And at the time when I went to vet school, there were about 22 veterinary schools. There's probably still less than 30 in the United States. And when you look at, you know, when I went to vet school, there were 1,500 applicants for 55 spots. It's very competitive, but it's an incredible
1,500 applicants for 55 spots.
That's right. Now it's probably between 800 and 1,200 for 55 spots. Total, LSU takes in about 80 or so students from Louisiana, about 55 from Louisiana, and the rest from other parts of the country. Actually, when it was built, it was a regional school. Louisiana, Arkansas, Puerto Rico, West Virginia. And so because many states don't have schools, they would have contracts. Mm-hmm. And the school was built predominantly with federal money and then, of course, finished with state money. But it was an amazing thing. When I went, it was all brand new. We literally, uh-huh. When you think about an education where you have the best of everything. It was very exciting, and I really enjoyed my time there. And I tell you, we were given a first-rate veterinary medical education.
That's how you met your wife.
That's exactly right. It's where I met my wife. She was a year behind me. And then after she graduated, of course, we got married and we built a practice together, which we still have on the North Shore. There are six veterinarians, well, five and me. So really five and me, right? Because I don't do medical practice routinely there, but I do financial management and that sort of thing. But I have five veterinarians in the government life.
Wow. Now, if the state of Arkansas had had a vet school, though, you probably never would have met the
I never would have met Susan. Yes, that would have been a tragedy.
For you, not necessarily for her.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But, you know, it's amazing that so much time now has passed, you know, because I love the practice of veterinary medicine, and it's been like just like my time in politics. You know, I can still smell and taste the gumbo that was served the first day I walked into the state legislature, and that would have been in October of 1999. It would have been a Monday morning, met with Hunt Downer, the speaker, and that's just and it seemed like just a moment ago.
Well, I remember stories about Lyndon Johnson, who had a bad heart even as a young man, but Robert Caro, his biographer, said he would sprint when he saw the Capitol. He was so eager to get there.
That's right.
You have the same kind of affinity for the state capitol.
I do. I love the state capitol, and you know, of course, you know, I come from that culture, having spent two terms as a state legislator. And so when legislative session starts, we move in. I have an executive suite in the state capitol. And basically, you know, we get there before the committee start. We leave when the last committee leaves. And we are really hands-on. I'm very fortunate that I have an excellent staff there at the Capitol that are really have more experience in the Capitol, actually, than I do. And so, you know, not only do we work very hard each year with our legislative package, we're also very involved in a number of bills and a number of issues. And, you know, and of course this year, I think we helped to modify or kill far more bills than we passed.
Is that good?
It is good, because a lot of them were bills that would have had very negative aspect on agriculture. For instance, legislation that would have put a tax on agricultural credit, on the agri-credit banks, which in essence of itself, and our argument at the table is that you can't do that because these are federally chartered banks. The net effect of that would have been to raise the interest rate on our farmers by 1%. Mm-hmm. That's what it would have cost the farmers. Other things, to eliminate the exemptions and the exceptions on agricultural inputs and also on the sale of our products. If you look at what that would have cost, and especially when you're the only state in the nation where that occurs, it would put us at a terrible, terrible economic disadvantage. And so when you look at what we talk about, the economy, the foundation of any economy begins with its natural resource-based industries, and agriculture is the predominant natural resource-based industry. And agriculture, when we took office, was at about $5.7 billion. Now it's at $13 billion, and it continues to grow, and it is going to grow. But the bottom line is that when I started in the legislature, I was appointed under Governor Foster, then again under Governor Blanco, to serve on the Rural Legislative Task Force. We went out into the rural areas. What can we do to grow the economy in the rural areas? What can we do for education? And now we're having to protect the rural areas from overburdensome regulation and taxation.
Dan in Baton Rouge, downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with...
Yes, Commissioner, do you believe that President Obama's approach to Cuban relations is better for Louisiana agriculture than that of President Trump?
Well, when you look at where we're at with agriculture, the approach of President Trump really is not going to modify the agriculture very much. It has to do with other aspects of trade with Cuba. And I think overall, where we're at now is that we've laid everything out on the table. And if you look at, you know, the administration said, all right, this is what we want. And we, of course, we have bills in the House and in the Senate, separate bills dealing specifically with the issue of private sales to Cuba and private sales to Cuban citizens versus now the discussion of private sales to all import. And so when you look at the approach, we were trying to, under the Obama administration, to get a vote through Congress to lift the embargo. We failed to do that. And now we have the issues out on the table. And from my perspective and what we're saying, said, okay, these are the issues. And now we have maintained our embassies in Cuba, and Cuba has an embassy in the United States. We're working with the ministers. Let's sit down and let's talk this out. Let's figure out a path forward that will be agreeable to everybody concerned. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to sell them products, sell more than $1.8 billion of American currency, American dollars, is being sent to Cuba by relatives of the Cuban people so they can buy food. That food is being bought in Vietnam, in Brazil, Uruguay, across the globe, except it's not being bought by the United States. And if you look at the amount of food they're going to import, they're going to import $2 billion worth of food. There's $1.8 billion of American dollars going to Cuba, then going mostly to Vietnam and other countries that we need to get back. And so that's the push and the goal there. And so where we're at, you know, specifically is that, again, we've laid out the parameters. This is where the discussion now begins, and it's time for our ambassadors and our trade ambassadors all to sit down in earnest and start talking about these issues. And we have had some discussions. If you look at the Cuban-American delegation that is in Washington, D.C., talking about the issues there now with the bills coming forward for agricultural trade, one of the things they have said, and I think will be agreeable, is that putting a small surcharge on sales, putting money into a treasury account to help pay reparations back to the Cuban Americans. So that's one of the concession points that are there.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in on Talk Louisiana with Commissioner Mike Strain. Jennifer in Lafayette. Good morning, Jennifer. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, Jim. Jim, I'm glad you're back on WRKS. Glad to hear you.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for you, and I apologize if you might have addressed it, but I'm just tuning in. I'm originally from Assumption Parish, specifically from Tankerville, Louisiana, and I'm curious to know, Commissioner, about the status of the sugar industry, the sugar cane industry here in Louisiana, particularly vis-a-vis subsidies and sugar from Latin America. I'm a big proponent of free trade, but I know that that's a big part of the economy in Assumption Parish and surrounding areas. So if you could just speak to that, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have more than 400,000 acres of sugarcane in Louisiana. And the sugarcane industry is, you know, overall a $500 million a year industry. And so there really are no subsidies in sugar. There are loan guarantees. And in most years, the sugar program is of zero cost. Sugar is a regulated entity, except for sugar coming in from Mexico. Under the North American Free Trade Agreement, Mexico can ship any amount of raw sugar they want to in, but it must be raw sugar. Other countries cannot, and that maintains a balance of supply and demand. And actually, in most times in the United States, we do import some sugar. And so there are no net subsidies there. Also, when you look at what's going on with the Farm Bill, there's going to be a lot less investment, apparently, in the commodity section. The Farm Bill is $100 billion a year. The commodity section, which is crop insurance, which is conservation, which is all the different programs, is less than $16 billion of the $100 billion per year. But sugar is a vital part of our economy, and in many parishes, it is the total economy of that parish, and we are one of the largest sugar producers in the United States. And so it's a very important part of our economy. It is a long-term crop. It's a five-year crop. We've been raising sugar here for 200 years.
The Advocate reports, Commissioner, that Louisiana did more business with Cuba than any other state in the country last year, $114 million in exports. You've been there twice recently. What have you discerned regarding the potential of that market?
Well, the overall potential, the Cuban island will import over $7 billion worth of product. And again, they import 80% of their food. And now that you have 4 million tourists from around the world going per year on an island of 11 million people, that's going to jump up to 2.5 billion and higher. They need everything. And I repeat, they need everything. They need wood. They need paper. They need paint. They need cement. They need rice. They need poultry. So what we're doing now is a very small fraction of what we could do. In the last 10 years, we have exported more to Cuba from Louisiana than the next five largest states combined. And so prior to the embargo, 60% of all trade was through the port of New Orleans with Cuba. 60% of all trade with Cuba worldwide was from the port of New Orleans. So we have a phenomenal import. And what also you have to look at is not only the direct sales to the island, the new superport of Mariel, which is being built with foreign investment at the northernmost port in Cuba, is a superport. And that superport is where containers will come in and be redistributed across Mexico and, of course, Latin America and South America. That superport is going to be like the Atlanta, Georgia is for aircraft. That's going to be for ships and containers. So it's not only direct sales with Cuba. It's getting involved in having a piece of that massive new container traffic. That's being built at that exact spot for a reason.
All right. Another question from a listener. Are you running for re-election?
I am running for re-election. Thank you. That will be in 2019.
That's just 2 years away.
2 years away. That is very hard for me to believe. But, you know, we live our lives in four-year clips. And I actually love campaigning. I love getting out there. You know, that's a, you know, something that's just, you know, we have a great time, and it gives us an opportunity to spend more time out in the countryside and talking to people. And just like the meeting here today, this is where we find out what the true issues are. And this is where we have those conversations. So, yes, I am running for re-election, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Well, you today and tomorrow will be attending to the people at this convention, about 2,000 strong. And my understanding is that at some point you'll give an update on every commodity in the state.
I will.
Do your homework?
That is tomorrow. I have done my homework. You can see I got about 3 inches of paper there. And of course, when I walk into commodity meetings, they say, you're not going to open that up because, you know, you only got 15 minutes. But there's a lot of exciting things going on. And if you look at where we're at, you know, and I've just finished a tour across the United States as head of the nation's ag commissioners. I've been everywhere except on the West Coast, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, looking at the innovations in science and technology that we see across the United States. There are so many things that are so exciting, you know, and a lot of things began when we finally identified the genome and all the different plants in those projects. There's so many exciting things where we are going to increase productivity and new and innovative ways to decrease the amount of inputs, grow more with less. It's just so exciting looking at where science and technology and innovation meets hard work and determination.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Commissioner Mike Strain on Talk Louisiana.